Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Viewing the news of the day through the only reliable lens, the Word of God. Good morning, Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo, and we welcome you to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. Big news, breaking news from last night to cover regarding the De Pere City Council meeting, which we'll share in our second segment, and we'll get to our guest after David opens us in prayer.
Lord God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your sovereignty, and thank you so much for the truth. Thank you that we can stand on your word, which is eternal and everlasting. And I also thank you, Lord, that we are here for such a short time in terms of eternity according to your timeline from beginning and the end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are God. And I thank you, Father, that nothing escapes your notice. You care and you are concerned about the details in our lives. And I thank you that you promised to complete the work you began in each of us. It's an honor to serve you, Lord. We love you and thank you for the hope that is an anchor to our soul, the hope of eternal life in your presence for those who believe in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our topic today, the triumph of political correctness over rational thought. The city of De Pere, Wisconsin last night passed by a 5-4 margin the, quote, anti-discriminatory, end quote, bill we have been discussing while not allowing any change to the language that would expand religious exemptions. This morning in our final segments, I'll share my observations from last night's meeting, and hopefully we'll give you some insight as to exactly what transpired and the potential effects moving forward. In our first segment this morning, we're joined by Tina Griffin, counterculture mom, with a look at movies, television, video games, and how to protect your children from violence and sexuality. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Hey, welcome. And it's kind of exciting. I'm on location in my truck in the Lighthouse Christian School in Antioch, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. I like doing stuff where you're on location. That means stuff is happening.
On location. We're making it sound professional and exciting. Hey,
There you go, exactly.
And I'm sure you just dropped your kids off at this Lighthouse Christian School, correct?
I did, and it's been, for the parents tuning in today, it's been such a eye-opening experience of just listening to God, because it's a great, great school, and I was homeschooling my kids up until this point, and my husband and I have been praying about the ministry I've been doing for how many years. The doors are starting to open, but I feel so torn, and I know so many moms feel torn. They have a ministry God gave them. They also want to raise their kids. What do you do? And I am having the most amazing time talking with the school, because I plan on volunteering here as well so I can be a part of my kids' lives helping other children, and at the same time 20 minutes from an airport if I do have events coming up where I can go speak and come back pretty much the same day now, since I'm not in Missouri any longer. God literally plucked our family out within a 72-hour period from it back in August and said, you are going to be doing this, and literally to a point where I've been telling God, can you slow down? I can't keep up. But God is on the move with so many people today in this country.
Amen, Tina. God is on the move. I think that's an excellent reminder that we need to, even though we can't see things happening the way we want them necessarily at times, we know he's always moving in the realm of the spirit. Well, let's get right to it. You've got some information on your website. We want to know about this Handmaid's Tale. It's raunchy, but is it recommended reading at public schools? Just from what I read about it, it's very concerning, particularly to Christian parents.
Yes, and it blows my mind what's actually being promoted at schools today. I have a friend of mine that I just interviewed while at a event. I actually spoke at an event the same day Donald Trump was there speaking in the morning. I spoke in the afternoon, and it was for the Values Voters Summit in Washington, D.C. through the Family Research Council about 3 weeks ago. And I've been talking with a friend of mine, Carla Diodesi. She's on Fox and Friends a lot. She does a lot of reporting, has her own radio show, Family Matters radio show. And she is on the front lines in Philadelphia with what's going on in her state and city regarding her kids' recommended reading at the schools in her area. Well, I had her on as a guest on Hollywood Insider when I was in D.C. at this conference. She came out, we met, and you can see that interview at counterculturemom.com along with the blog that I wrote regarding The Handmaid's Tale. What basically went down was a friend of hers from that same school came over to her house and said, did you see the recommended reading for our high school students? Now, it was advanced placement courses, but you can also find these books in school libraries when Carla did the research.
Oh, boy.
And her friend read her several paragraphs from this book, and they both started bawling. I don't want to give you too much graphic content in case there's kids listening to this radio program, but for parents out there, I want to let you know that it talks about pornography. It talks about watching pornography together, women doing graphic sexual things to men and other women. Mm. It talks about women being hung up naked upside down from a tree and being brutally dismembered. Ugh. And this is in the recommended reading for our leaders in our school, advanced placement classes in schools around the country. And when Carla blew this wide open with me on this show, other parents then started getting concerned and checking out their libraries, checking out their kids' books in their backpacks. So this is just one book of the five on this school's recommended reading list. In fact, they had three books that were pretty raunchy in nature. Parents went to a meeting there at the school, and the school decided to side with the principal at the school, saying we're going to keep the reading in. In fact, we're going to give them two more options to choose from instead of putting the interest of the parents, you know, that top priority and saying we got to get this book out of the schools. The issue is this is illegal, and many parents need to be very aware of what their kids are reading, because anything that is graphic, sexual in nature can hurt the child psychologically. They can't even literally handle the words that are being read and forced, you know, for them to be read in these books. They can't even physically handle it. In fact, kids that read this book now are trying to find counselors after being told to read the book for a class assignment.
And so, go ahead, Tina.
I want to say it's a big mess, and I think the best thing parents can do is just be aware of what their kids are being asked or told to read in order to get a grade to pass the class.
Well, we're talking about The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Wood. The problem is sometimes parents don't even know until it's too late, until the teachers already have the kids read the book or they're reading the book, for example, I Am Jazz, about the transgender. They read these books to the kids, and then the parents find out. What do you recommend for Christian parents to do?
Honestly, and that's what I'm currently doing right now, either homeschool your kids or put them in a amazing Christian school, which you still have to be, you know, careful with schools to make sure they're Bible-based, but that's what I decided to do. That's the number one best thing you could possibly do for your kids. Homeschool, because then you have total control over what you have in your kids' hands, or Christian school. This school that I'm currently putting my kids in, the Lighthouse Christian School, has the Abeka program. It worked perfect for the underage, the lower grades, the elementary. However, I do know Christian schools that I've been to that still have Common Core books that they use, which should not be the standard of what they teach, because it doesn't make them any different than a public school. So make sure it's not Common Core based. Make sure it's Christian, biblically based. When I dropped my kids off this morning for the first day of school here, they had Christian music in the background. I checked out their curriculum. I knew it was Abeka. Look over the kids' books. If your kid can handle a public school, because I was a Christian kid in public school and I loved it. Granted, that was 20 years ago and things weren't as bad as it is today. Definitely still check out in your public schools what kind of curriculum, what kind of books are they being recommended to read. Go take a stroll through the library and look at some of the books that are in the library shelves, because a lot of even elementary kids' parents are going to their elementary schools and finding very graphic sexual content, including even just the whole LGBT agenda with Heather Has Two Mommies.
Mm-hmm.
There's books like that all over the place in the library. So be very diligent. Don't just trust your school system that you're dropping them off. They're going to be in the best interest of your kids. They are being told by the state, by the government, what needs to be taught. And let me tell you, both of those two, we both know, are not biblically based.
Oh, really quick, Tina, I want to get your take on something. And this question comes with tongue in cheek on my part. According to Newsweek, you said you were at the Values Voter Summit. Well, Newsweek calls Family Research Council a hate group, and they said they could not, and this was a headline in Newsweek about 4 weeks ago, they could not believe that a president of the United States would spend all day at this hate group summit. What's your take on that? Because you were there speaking.
Yep, it blows my mind. First of all, this is what's wrong, and I'm trying to find the exact words right here. We did a workshop. First of all, Family Research Council is one of the top places I would recommend on getting connected with, getting information from as a Christian in America on the people that want Christian values for our kids. Go there. They have excellent, excellent content. Secondly, Donald Trump wasn't even there the whole day. He's running the country, and he's busy doing things that God is telling him to do and handle. He was there for approximately 2 hours that I know of personally because he came, spoke, and then he had to take off to get business done.
You mean Newsweek missed a fact?
Yeah, they missed the fact unless he was hiding out behind stage for 12 hours, which I highly doubt. Otherwise, he would have been swarmed by about 5,000 people that would want to meet him personally. Yes. And the other thing is, his speech was fantastic. And I was seven rows from the front watching him speak. It was an honor to be there. I was like asking God, how did I even get into this? To hear a president talk on subjects that you feel so strongly about, that you want to get America back on track for the betterment of the country and the people as a whole, to eradicate violence and murder with all these heinous crimes that have been happening lately, it was so cool to hear him talk about pro-life issues. And the cool thing about this is so many other presidents I've heard speak before read from a teleprompter. Their speech was written for them. Donald Trump looked us in the eye and looked across the entire audience. He was serious about what he said, every word that he used, and he wasn't making it up, and no one told him what to say. This guy's on fire, and I am praying that God continues to use him. So Newsweek has it way wrong. The other important thing I want to point out with this is there was a workshop at the Values Voters Summit all about the social justice warrior. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it is basically a social justice group that has a long list of all of these organizations that they are saying are haters, that want division in our country, that should be wiped out. And the crazy thing is all of the conservative, God-centered organizations are on this hit list that this organization is pumping out there. The other interesting fact is the shooter down in Texas this last Sunday who killed 26 people in that small congregation was a follower of this hate group, SJW, that's online that actually listed off all these conservative places that people need to clean off.
Wow.
I really believe that this organization needs to be wiped off the map here.
Well, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, they had that hate map on their website, which incited one of their radical followers, a homosexual activist, to go to the Family Research Council offices in Washington, D.C., and take a gun, and he wanted to kill the staff, but he was stopped. And they're breeding this hate, and the media seems to be inciting more violence and just making it worse by fanning the flames. But I want to get back to something you mentioned earlier in this interview. The porn problem in Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein. I wanted to get your take on how really they're in a way they're covering that up. And I don't know if it's because they're embarrassed or what I think we tend to believe. They just really don't want the truth to come out. They want to avoid it and cover it any means possible because it's so rampant in Hollywood. What does counterculture mom think about that?
I think what you just said is exactly right on. When I was there and working on set, and then I was also a casting director intern at Universal Studios when I first moved there when I was 20 years old, met a lot of celebrities, heard a lot of stories behind the scenes. I won't go into detail, but it goes much deeper. I can tell you this. It's so hard to even say because it's a whole other conversation, but baby sacrifice has also been tied to Hollywood for years, and I heard stories. I had a friend that was a nurse at a hospital in Los Angeles that saw things take place. Ugh. So it's very, very satanic. At the same time, there's many Christian people that are in Hollywood doing the right thing. It's a black and white situation going on in L.A. for the last couple of decades. With Harvey Weinstein, I am praising God that this even blew open and that the media is even covering what's going on because even though they're not going to the depth of what they should be, look at how many news stories just came out in the last 3 weeks because it's come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have people like every day in the news, I'm reading more four or five different celebrities talking about how they were abused or raped.
Yeah.
And this information needs to come out. God is bringing all this to light. And it's a perfect time for people to see that Hollywood is not what it is, that it's a lot worse than we thought, and we need to be praying for the people that are Christians in L.A., trying to do the right thing to help literally share the gospel with other people on set, because it's a dangerous place to work today. I just had Sam Sorbo on. She wrote the script for Let There Be Light, which made $2.9 million at the box office already. It just came out last weekend. She was on Hollywood Insider talking about the movie 3 days before it came out. And we've had some talks about Hollywood. It's hard to be a Christian in L.A. It's hard to express your faith. Many people are afraid they're going to lose their job. Mm. And that's the bummer because of the tough situation if you are a believer and living in L.A. So we got to be praying and lifting people up that are doing the right thing. But with Harvey Weinstein, Corey Feldman also came out because of all this. And him and I have been in talk since July. I've wanted him to come on Hollywood Insider. I've been talking to his agent because I want him to explain and express clearly who the major ringleaders are in L.A. And last I heard, he said there's 6 major players that have been abusing kids for decades.
Yep.
He being one of the victims. And he was laughed at. He was on talk shows the last 2 decades, laughed at. No one did anything. They didn't take him seriously. And he just, and I'm everybody listening, we need to be praying for him because he just released a video 2 weeks ago saying he is on YouTube that I put a link on Counterculture Mom Facebook group page where he is going to be making a movie on and sharing everything that has happened to him and his friend Corey Haim, who, of course, took his life when he was like an early teen because of all the abuse he endured.
Mm. Well, we know others have reported on this, conservative outlets, a few pastors. Joe Schimmel, Good Fight Ministries, did, I think, several years ago. I think it had to do something with the X-Men, but he talked about child predators in Hollywood and a few who have come forward. And, boy, it's a dark industry. It's evil. But like you said, Christians need to be in there because it's easy to move out of California because it's so dark. But that is an industry that needs the light of Christ. And you mentioned, and I want to emphasize the fact, that Christian movies, family-friendly movies, do exceptionally well at the box office. We see Let There Be Light making nearly $3 million already. So we need to continue to support Christian movies, family-friendly movies, and thank God the quality is getting much better as well.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree more. And the best thing we can do is support a movie and go see it with your family. Load up a school bus, take some schools there. If you want to donate some cash to take, some classrooms with you, just to get them out to see it. Kids need to see it. Parents need to see it. Everybody needs to see these movies the first weekend, if possible, because that's when the ratings are basically made on that movie. It tells Hollywood, first and foremost, these are the movies that are wanted. And it helps those movies get funded for future projects. And then more and more people have the buzz going out there. This is a great movie where the movie lasts longer in the box office. So there's a lot of benefits to go see a positive Christian movie the first weekend that it comes out.
Good, and that's an excellent point. I think we need to emphasize that point again because it does matter. It does send a signal to Hollywood, the producers, the movie studios, when in that first week a family-friendly or a Christian film does extremely well. We got to just wrap it up with one more question, and this is a loaded one. We could do a whole segment or show on this, but I want to see where you're at. Now, I know you just moved, and you're still getting settled there in the Nashville area, but the transgender movement is alive and well, and the ball is rolling in America. Even last night, the first black trans man, quote, woman, was elected in Minnesota. I just want to get your take on what you've been sensing, what you've been hearing from your circle, Tina.
A lot of the same thing. I really think in the end times, which I believe we're in, it's going to snowball really fast. And it has been really fast. The last 2 or 3 years alone blow my mind as far as all the laws that have been passed, the anti-family, the hatred, the murderous crime scenes in our country just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Look at how many people have died at the hand of many, many gunmen because the whole Vegas situation is very sketchy with what the media is reporting. I will tell you that we as Christians need to be in the game, not bench warmers. And I want to just encourage people, it is the most exciting life you could live at a time like this, because I want Christ to come back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done everything I told you to do with the time you've got on the earth, and I believe we don't have much time. So looking at these different laws being passed that are definitely not of God, it's a reminder that he is coming back very soon. that we need to stay busy and engage in the culture,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be focused on kingdom building, not how can we fill our pocketbooks. The one thing my husband has, he just got a new job here in Nashville, it's financial. And he said, Tina, I am praying, and we've been praying together, that he makes a lot so we can give a lot away. What has God given each and every one of us for talent to make cash, to give it away, to fund projects that are pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-baby, pro-life, pro-Christ?
Mm.
That's what we need to be doing, putting our money where God's word says we should fund it. So it's exciting times, even though at the same time, I'm like, are you serious? This may headline news. You think you've seen it all, and then there's another new headline.
Tina, before we say goodbye, tell us about your Counterculture Mom app. Very exciting.
I was just going to say that. And I'm so excited. I want to thank you guys again for having this radio program, getting positive, God-centered content out there to the masses, because there's a lack of that today. So thank you for all of the work and effort and time and energy that you put forth, which you might not see a lot of the feedback from the audience, but they are getting help. And I want to encourage the people tuning in, donate towards this program, Stand Up for the Truth. Donate your time. Ask how you can help. Tell your friends to tune into the station. Because if we... Just because Hollywood feeds us junk doesn't mean we have to eat it. What I want to suggest is we only engage in positive entertainment, positive life-giving content, and that will shut down the other places. They will no longer be able to financially stay open. Counterculture Mom app, we've been working on this for 2 months. It's awesome. It will be out in the next couple of weeks, and I will announce it, of course, in your show next month. But this app is going to be loaded with pop culture alerts. So anything, if something comes out ahead of time, I'll make sure the parents are aware. They'll get a notification on their phone. Check this out. That way their kids are protected from seeing something or hearing something. And we'll have all my YouTube videos of the Hollywood Insider shows I've been doing since April with a lot of great content from all different people, from Ray Comfort. We have Kirk Cameron coming on soon. Also we had, Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham was on as a guest. Sam Sorbo. Awesome. A lot of key players in the Christian family that have been on as guests that you guys can get through this app. My blog will be on the app. There is going to be notifications that if you live within a certain mile radius, like 100 miles from an event that I'll be doing live, you'll get notified so you can come check out an actual live Hollywood Exposed show and bring your kids. I will have links to the Counterculture Mom Facebook page, which has daily updates. You have a section in there for... also, I got more stuff here, a large resource page. If your kids are struggling with cutting or suicide issues, or they want to just get a family-friendly movie list of 300 positive movies, this app will have it all. And I also want to tell you guys that Luke and I got a direction from God in the last week that I'm going to be bringing on other key players. Like I have a mom, America's Mom mentor, Mona Corwin from Texas, that'll be joining us in this app. I'm going to have Carla Diadesi also donate some content in this app where the top key players in certain subjects that help families thrive in today's cultural chaos, they will be a part of this app as well. So
cool.
It's going to be a one-stop shop for parents to go to when they're like, what do I do about X, Y, and Z regarding culture and entertainment? They will come to this app.
Well, Tina, thank you for your timeless work, your passion for the Lord, your passion for our children. And we look forward to talking to you in November when we're going to be experiencing, or December, when we have snow and you'll probably be basking in sunshine.
We'll see about that. Right now it's been rain. But I also want to quickly tell people that they can text the word media guide, no spaces, media guide, to the number 44222, and they will get on my newsletter list and also get a free 4-page PDF suite guide with hyperlinks that can help them get started in the pop culture purge in their home.
Awesome.
Excellent. Thank you, Tina. God bless you. Talk to you next month.
You got it. You better come down here for NRB, and you're welcome to come visit us when you're here in Nashville.
Thank you. I may take you up on that.
Yay.
All right, Tina Griffin, Counterculture Mom. When we come back, my observations from the De Pere City Council meeting last night.
Missed a recent show? Catch up anytime on our free app, q90fm.com/app. Click on podcasts. Stand Up for the Truth. We'll continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Well, David, it was certainly an interesting night last night at the Pierce City Council meeting.
Yeah, and my apologies. I was speaking at a church doing a presentation. Otherwise, I would have been there. In fact, I encouraged people to go. And from my own church, I said, hey, you can come hear me speak anytime. Go to this DePere City Council meeting. And we prayed for you. We prayed for God's will, and we trust His sovereignty. And with that, what happened and what was the end result?
Well, it was an interesting night. The discussion, public discussion on the proposed bill went over 3.5 hours.
Wow.
The chambers were packed. There were people standing in the hall. A total of 42 people spoke. And interestingly, by my count, 21 for and 21 against the proposed legislation. The majority of people, Dave, speaking against the proposal, cited concerns for religious discrimination as a result of this bill regarding churches, religious organizations, and Christian employers. They were concerned about expanded prejudice against churches and Christian organizations. Everyone speaking in favor had basically the same arguments: fairness and understanding the pressure on transgenders and how they feel like castoffs. Having said that, I will say that I believe all, I'm going to say 41 of the 42 people who spoke were very respectful. I think the overall mood was very civil for the most part. During the break, for example, we took a 5-minute break because an alderman had to use the bathroom. We saw people on both sides of this argument talking. And things like this. So it was a good civil meeting from that point. But the arguments, again, of the left, and we'll get into it a little bit as we move forward here. The sad thing about the way these things happen, Dave, is you sign up that you want to say something. And you do. And you speak. You give your couple minutes of what you feel is right. Next person comes up. And this took, like I said, close to 2.5 hours. But then you get no chance to refute something that someone else on the other side said an error. And I want to talk about a couple of them here. First of all, one of the things we continually heard from the proponents of this bill is, well, you know that, do you know that 40% of transgenders contemplate suicide? Over and over and over.
We know that.
We know that. If I had had the opportunity to speak later, I would have said this. We acknowledge that statistic and we are heartbroken by that statistic. But let me point out something to you. The nation of Sweden, which is the most accepting and tolerant of transgenders and homosexuals, do you know what their suicide rate for transgenders is? The same, 40%. So they try to paint this thing like all of you bigots, by forcing these people and making them feel less than human, you're putting pressure on them when they're committing suicide. The reality is this: when a nation like Sweden, which is very accommodating, has the same suicide rate as transgenders in America, obviously we're not the problem. Here's the problem.
That's an excellent point, by the way.
Yeah, but again, we didn't get a chance to make it. Here's the reason why these people struggle with suicide. They are trying to convince themselves they are something contrary to what God created them to be.
Yes.
Medical science, and a couple people talked about this, the American Medical Association, the American College of Pediatricians, John Hopkins Medical University, all basically say this is a lot of fabrication, this whole issue, that nothing can change a person's gender. You will always be male or female. Sexual preferences can change, bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, but gender cannot. But again, what the left does so well is skew facts with emotion and really without a chance to refute those things and to really point people to the truth. You have, what turned out to be a majority of the city council, I think, just being swayed by emotion and not really listening to the facts.
So you mentioned the medical association and the scientific community. There are some, I won't say all, but I would even go so far to say many or even most in the medical profession, scientific communities, if they speak out on this issue, it does not support the idea that you can change your sex. When that was brought up last night by other people at this council meeting that brought it up, did anyone refute or try to refute those facts?
Well, great point. My good friend Pat Boyer was there, and he near the end said, he quoted the studies from Johns Hopkins University, the former head of psychology there, and also current members at Johns Hopkins that say, look, this is a fabricated issue, and this is a bogus issue, transgenderism. He quoted people and gave the statistics.
Good for him.
A lady walked up after him and said, oh, by the way, everything that man told you has been debunked.
That was her response, huh?
And I'll tell you, this was the one time, and I thank God that my friend John Chaline and Scotty were with me, because I wanted to jump out of my seat and say, that is a lie. None of this has been debunked. Johns Hopkins just this year came out and said, no, we stand by what we found. But Dave, the overriding thing that I see at these meetings time after time is it's a battle of facts versus emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And in the politically correct, charged atmosphere we have right now, emotion wins. Emotion trumps logic. Emotion trumps truth.
So from what I understand, first of all, was I right? I predicted that they would gather a lot of young people, a lot of guys and gals, college students from St. Norbert's, a very liberal college if you're listening from somewhere else in the country. It is a Catholic university from what I understand, but it's, you know, progressive in their thought and in their teachings and their faculty and in their students, most of them. Did they get a lot of support from the students to show up?
9 students from UWGB and St. Norbert were there.
Well, that's not as many as I thought.
But 9 of them spoke. I should say 9 of them said, I'm a student at UWGB.
Well, of course they're going to, and they were all in support of it, right?
Absolutely, right down the line.
Of course. Well, let me ask you this then. Since it was a 5-4 vote, the city council was split, and did the mayor cast the deciding vote?
Yes. What happened, after we have all of this discussion, then the board kind of discusses it among themselves, and we are not allowed to participate. We can just listen. And three of the four gentlemen who opposed this all had very similar arguments. And here it is. Number one, these issues have been and are being addressed at the state and federal level. So why are we messing around with this? This thing is, it's stupid. We've got, I mentioned in my comments, can we at least wait until the Jack Phillips case is decided by the Supreme Court in February? I said, why put everyone through these useless gymnastics, pass something that you may have to rescind later and have all sorts of confusion? And 3 of the 4 who voted against this all cited that really they didn't feel this was a de pure jurisdiction situation since the Supreme Court would trump anyway.
Interesting.
And their arguments were also, one of them in particular, I believe it was Alderman Rush, I believe, said, are we not getting rid of one aspect of discrimination and replacing it with another? Are we not imposing discrimination on people of faith, Muslim, Christian, Jew? Are we not now discriminated against them and their deeply held beliefs? Interesting to hear the arguments of the progressives and the liberals that come up, though. 3 of them said the same thing. This isn't a religious issue. This is a human rights issue. And when I talked, and again, I was only the second person to speak, I did look at the council. I said, respectfully, gentlemen, we just all stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we said one nation under God. You know and I know who our founding fathers meant, the God of the Bible. He has much to say about this issue. Should we be wading into something that God's already waded in on?
Good point.
But the line of illogic of the left, again, is that we're the ones causing suicide in this community because of our hatred. Again, that wasn't overtly stated. I want to, you know, be transparent about
it. It can be
that.
Implied.
Very much implied. Yeah. And that also these people have no choice. You know, they were accidents at birth. And that really, you know, one of them mentioned, he said, look, I don't understand all this stuff. One of the aldermen, he said, but we're talking about gender fluidity here. He said, are you telling me you can go from man to woman to man to woman to man to woman? I mean, how do we write a law to protect people when we don't know what of 68 genders are going to be on any particular day?
That's a great question.
It's a great question. Yeah. And I just want to applaud Alderman Crevier, Lewick, Rosh, and Carpenter for your no votes. And just you did the right thing last night. None of us no one should hate transgenders, homosexuals. No one should hate anyone.
Yeah.
No one is looking. Dave, in some of the arguments, well, we just want to be able to get a library card. You can get a library card now.
What?
Yeah, it was this kind of, we can't get library cards
Oh, that's an emotional appeal right there. Oh, we can't even get a library card. We're discriminated against.
Before we go to break, 2 other things that happened in the end that are very, very eye-opening. The city attorney had been writing down questions that people have. And I want to, by the way, commend Pastor Jack Guerra, of Spring Lake Church, and particularly Pastor Sheldon Miles of Destiny Church. They spoke. Sheldon had some excellent questions and really got really cut to the core of this very respectfully. So the attorney tries to answer these questions. And one of them was that, will this mandate that since all services must be provided without discrimination, can transgenders come into churches and get married? I'm watching the city attorney tap dance like nobody I've ever seen tap dance. Well, you know, the federal government, the state, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, this is subject to federal and state law. And our argument all along was, if you don't strengthen the religious exemption in this clause, here's what's going to happen. Some liberal judge is going to get a hold of it, and they're going to read your intent into it, and they're going to use it with their own bias. Mm-hmm. There's no intent here of to hamper churches or religious organizations, but they refused. There was a motion to strengthen this language a little bit, and they refused to do it. They voted it down. So that was point one. Another point was brought up. What about a business owner or a church that maybe has a sign on the outside that says, or right in their window, we believe marriage is between one man and one woman? Could that get the business in trouble? City attorney said, I can't answer that. It might not.
Oh.
So, and yet their argument all along here is this is not a First Amendment situation. It is clearly a First Amendment situation.
Well, on that thought, about that thought right there, I think you alluded to this earlier that, now, I just want to clarify for our listeners, because this can be a very confusing topic. So a lot of cities, particularly with liberal universities, like 20 miles from here, Appleton has Lawrence University. They passed this law in 2013 or something very similar. Would the Supreme Court case decision, the Jack Phillips Colorado cake baker, would that case trump the DePere transgender ordinance if it is decided that Jack Phillips has a right to turn down business?
Yeah, I believe it would. I mean, the Supreme Court is the final human authority, legal authority in our nation. So if the Supreme Court supports Jack Phillips in February and comes down on his side, this will override the DePere Amendment. It will override all of these quote-unquote anti-discrimination proposals in these cities.
So for these cities that have passed them, if that were to happen, what would the cities do with the ordinance? Does the wording change? Do they repeal it completely? What happens?
Well, they could do either one. They could change the wording, or they could just repeal it. Hmm. Either way. But yes, so much is riding on this Jack Phillips case. When we come back, more of our observations from the meeting last night.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments@standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
More on our takeaway lap from the DePere City Council meeting last night.
Okay, Mike, according to the bill, it states that, quote, discriminate shall mean any act, policy, or advertisement or practice which, regardless of intent, has the effect of subjecting any person to differential treatment.
Yeah.
Can you talk on that, the whole idea of intent? You're trying to figure out someone's preconceived motivation?
Exactly. And one of the aldermen who ironically ended up supporting the bill said, I'd like this wording changed a little bit. This is way too vague. He proposed, I believe, that it had to be an intentional act. And the alderman who proposed this gave this emotional appeal about, well, you know, yeah, but how can we really know? And people can, and it said everything in the world to me last night when the council said, no, we're going to leave the language the way it is. So in other words, now I don't have to have the intent to discriminate. You can just think that maybe I discriminated.
Wow.
And there was a lengthy discussion about what would happen if a transgender applied for a job and was turned down. Well, he can go to the city, and the city can find the employer. You know, now they said that we'd be willing to mediate and see if both sides can come to agreement. But if both sides don't want to come to agreement, we're just going to fine the business owner.
Wow.
No indication of the amount of the fines, no indication of anything. This thing is so broadly written, so sloppy, and so poorly written that a liberal judge is going to have a field day with.
So this guy, Casey, that proposed it, I'm guessing he's in his mid-20s?
I'd say maybe 30, I'd guess, yeah.
Mid-late 20s.
Yeah, he's a pharmacist in town.
Yeah, he just got elected in April.
Yeah.
And several months, I'm sure he's been working on this, proposing this. Do you think would there be any reason to think that before he got elected, there were some people that were trying to get him into this position so that this could be proposed?
Well, I can't speak to that, Dave, but I will say this. Isn't it funny that the wording of this ordinance is exactly the same as it was in Appleton? Exactly, and the city attorney admitted that. They just took this, it worked somewhere else, let's carbon copy it for De Pere, and let's run with it. And again, every one of our attempts, Pastor Sheldon, me, so many other people that talked about, slow down and please strengthen the language on religious exemption, were rebuffed. Yeah. No, we're going to leave it just like it is, and we're going to move forward. There's no doubt. There was a lot of discussion about how does this differ from Sun Prairie and Appleton, and the attorney said it doesn't. It doesn't. Mm. It doesn't at all.
Well, where did we go from here, Mike?
Well, a couple other things I did want to talk about. This is very important if you are a church or a Christian ministry. When it talked about hiring, the city attorney said this. Now, look, there's state and federal statutes that say basically you still can discriminate based on, quote, ministerial activities, end quote. And I believe it may have been Sheldon. I believe it was Pastor Miles who said, we're looking to hire an IT person. Do I have to hire a transgender? The answer here was basically, well, the statutes say if it's a ministerial position. Now think about it for a second. If I'm a church right now and I'm going to hire, I'm going to work into everyone's job description. Part of your job is to pray with members and to share the gospel with members, which makes them a minister. So one thing I think you can do to protect yourself right now is look at every one of your employees. And what do we do here at Q90FM? And I don't want to toot our own horn. We pray on a regular basis for our listeners. We share the gospel with them. So that's one way I think you can protect yourself. So the other thing they talked a lot about was going back to intent. Well, it's not our intention to discriminate against churches. It's not. And I said, I don't care what your intent
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It's an inevitable result.
It's an inevitable result because a liberal judge gets a hold of this and they read their own intent into it.
Yeah.
So one other thing I did want to mention, Dave, that was very, very interesting to me. Several people talked about what's going on in Target department stores, what happened down here at Fox River Mall and Grand Chute recently, where men would go in posing as transgender confused people. Yeah. And videotape young girls changing. In fact, at one of the Targets, there was a sexual assault that's being litigated right now.
Lord.
And again, the left is masterful at how they twist these things. The next four or five people came up and said, you have nothing to fear from transgenders. We're not the ones sexually assaulting. We know these cases are going on, but transgender people aren't the ones doing it. It's people who pose as transgenders. And I wanted to scream, exactly. That's the issue. Our issue with this is not necessarily the transgender individual. It's people posing to be transgender individuals who can say, I feel like a woman today. I'm going into the women's changing room. And by the way, here's my smartphone. And sadly, sometimes, like one of the cases with Target, I'm going to film a 10-year-old girl naked. So, but they twist it to be that we're afraid of transgenders. I sat in the middle of four transgenders last night. I didn't feel afraid. Two in front of me, one to my right, and one immediately in front of me.
Yeah, they're human beings made in the image of God who need the salvation of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know the truth. And by the way, you said not necessarily. They cannot back up their claim that real transgenders don't go into these dressing rooms and do this. They can't say that because there probably are some who are transgenders that would go in and maybe still be attracted to the opposite sex.
Just like there's heterosexuals and homosexuals.
Exactly. So they cannot say that, hey, this isn't transgenders. We don't have the numbers. They can't prove anything. They can just make that claim, but like you said, it's not necessarily the transgenders we're concerned about. It's just the laws that would open up this ability for those who would want to go into dressing rooms and take advantage of the situation of the law being on the books so they can do whatever they want to do.
Exactly. You know, Dave, one other takeaway I had from the meeting last night, maybe my biggest takeaway from the meeting, how many people who confess to be Christians that are blind to God, His Word, and His ways? We heard many times last night, Jesus never judges. We heard many times, we are all God's children. We heard several times, Jesus came to bring social justice. And the mayor himself got up there in his eloquent, very eloquent, and I mean that, closing comments and said, I'm a Christian, Jesus never judges, and we shouldn't judge. Jesus hates discrimination. And so, again, the number of people, five of them that I counted for sure that came up, and then the sixth would be the mayor, claiming to be Christians yet supporting this agenda. And again, when you listen to them, we're all God's children. No, we're not. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ and confess their sins, the Bible says, are adopted children of God. Everyone's a creation of God. But the number of people, and I just urge all of you, when you meet someone and they say, I'm a Christian, just gently say, talk to me about that. What does that mean to you? What do you think of God's word? What do you think of who Jesus Christ was? Because, again, five, now six with the mayor, well, I'm a Christian. And then they went on to completely espouse things that are contradictory to the Bible.
Well, this goes along with the movement in America that actually the popularity of cohabitation before marriage, now it's between 60 and 70% of people that approve of cohabitation, which really it's fornication. In some cases, it's adultery. So even Christians are falling for this. That's like if I were to say, I believe, you know, adultery is fine. I'm a Christian. And what's wrong with this? You know, so they are saying, I'm not judging them individually on their Christianity, but you said when they claim Jesus never judges, so he's never made a judgment, and he never will judge, never really, they can use that word and claim. I mean, first of all, we know that's a lie. It's not just an exaggeration to say that Jesus never judges, meaning he never had when he was walking on the earth, the Pharisees and the others, he never judged, and he never will. How can people that have any idea of what the Bible teaches say that with a straight face, Mike?
Exactly, Dave. One other thing that was very interesting, and this was near the end of the night, this I believe it was a young man sitting in front of me, by the way, not even a DePere resident. So non-DePere residents were allowed to speak on this, apparently, if they supported the thing, came up and talked about a job interview he had. And he said, I was applying for this job. And he said, I came out and said to the prospective employer, I'm a transgender. And he said the rest of the interview was questions like, does that involve surgery, cosmetic surgery, hormone treatment, chemical treatment, whatever. And this young man said, those made me feel very uncomfortable, and I was offended by that. And I looked at that moment at the face. I had a pretty good idea who was going to vote for this. And I looked, and they were all sitting over to my right over there at the council, and all of them were aghast by this. And here's my point of making this. This is about people being offended. And so this young man, think about this. I'm a transgender. Well, and you start asking me questions. Well, I feel uncomfortable about this questioning. Well, I just feel I'm being discriminated against. So you can't even, so they come out and say I'm transgender. We ask questions and we're offending them.
If I was a business owner and I'm concerned about someone taking time off or having, you know, dealing with insurance or whatever else, tens of thousands of dollars with hormone treatments or surgeries, cosmetic surgeries, which is what a, quote, sex reassignment surgery, unquote. It's cosmetic surgery. Tens of thousands of dollars. How much time off will you be taking from work if I hire you? That's a fair question.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, it's covered under Obamacare. So it's going to make my rates go up. Where do we go from here, Dave? You know, the Jack Phillips bakery case is being heard by the Supreme Court. Arguments start December 5th, I believe. This is going to ultimately confirm or refute what the city of DePere did last night. We asked the council to hold off for a couple months and see what the Supreme Court did. But emotion, fake arguments, and political correctness rule the evening. Now, as Christians, what do we do? Number one, we must not allow hatred or anger to rule our hearts and minds. These are still people made in the image of God who have been blinded by Satan to the truth, love, and righteousness of God. If you are a Christian business owner, I don't think you're sinning by serving the transgender. Be guided by your conscience. You're not sinning before God if you sell a pair of shoes to a transgender. Of course not. So when the Supreme Court rules, and it's expected to be February of 2018, these things will be clarified. But the question I would leave you with as Christians today in DePeer, where everything changed last night, is this. The next time you walk into a store or to get a cup of coffee or see a transgender person on the street, do you feel anger and animosity or sympathy and heartbreak? Mm. If we feel anger and animosity, we're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting in the political realm, not the spiritual realm. May our hearts break for people who have been concealed from the truth, who have allowed politicians and public education and media and of course, the master of this world, Satan, to blind them to the truth. May we love them, be compassionate toward them. May we continue to share the gospel with them when we can. But if today you're angry at transgenders, you're missing the point.
Yes.
They are in need of a savior. Mm-hmm. And please do not stoke the false rhetoric that was presented subtly many times last night that Christians hate transgenders.
No.
Don't fall for Satan's bait.
And we have to understand having compassion is what we're required to do, because let's try to save some transgendered individuals, some confused individuals from suicide attempts. Let's try to love them and share the truth with them and get them help somehow. And I mean, there's a whole nother, we can do a whole nother show on how we try to do that, but let's be compassionate toward them and let's recognize the fact that many of them just are dealing with their own issues in their lives and they just want to be left alone. It's the minority that are the activists and that are the ones that are the agitators that are trying to force these laws on the different communities and on Christians and go into Christian shops and want to sue them. That is the minority. Very, very, very small percentage. I mean, the LGBTQ percentage of population is under 4%.
Yep.
As it is. Mm-hmm. The ones that are the hostile, God-hating activists, that's a fraction of 4% of the American population. So there's some perspective.
And before we go to break, the battle is not over. I'm attempting to sit down with the city council of DePeer to get some clarification on, you know, one of the things left in the open last night was the definition of a religious organization. Nobody could really give a definition to that. So I'm going to be attempting to meet with the city attorney, get a letter from the city attorney and the DePeer City Council to give us some clearer definitions and to continue to work for an addendum to this that will give more clear information that gives the religious exclusions that are provided in our Constitution. So the battle continues. Well, let's just keep praying over this, and God ain't done yet. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, tomorrow we're rejoined by Julaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Council. She will weigh in on what happened in DePeer last night and look at the continuing intrusion of government into religious conscience and freedom. Also, we didn't get a chance to get here today, and we're going to try to tomorrow. Pastor Carl Lentz of Hillsong and his now infamous flip-flop on the question, is abortion a sin? Kind of funny. He tells The View one thing, and then in a letter to his church, he tells another. So, there you go. And again, more of your comments on the meeting last night as we posted on Facebook today. Again, folks, let not hatred rule the day. Let compassion and love, but never allow that compassion and love to make you cower from sharing the truth of God's word. If you look at every individual you meet today and realize they are either going to spend eternity in the presence of God or in torment, separated from him for eternity. May that inspire us to love well,
amen,
to speak the truth in love, and to not do what Jesus warned the Pharisees. Better, if any of you cause any of these little ones to stumble, better that a millstone be tied around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea then face God. May it not be so. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. Be bold, strong, and always unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.